Austin 316 says I just whipped your... there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What? And that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 112, and it's The Title Hunt. And we are covering January 2002, and we are just coming off of the Royal Rumble 2002, where Triple H was the winner and is heading to WrestleMania. I'm Mike Pru, along with JV. As always, JV, how you doing?
Doing well, man. So yeah, this is where Triple H's career really kind of takes off.
Yeah, he's taking off. He's the fucking new big jacked Hulk Hogan type guy at this point.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see, like, his wrestling prowess and his skills are not totally on point with what they were previously. So that goes totally along with being, like, the Hulk Hogan type.
Yeah, too big.
He's too big, he's too jacked, and he's going to be limited to some punches and stomps and... high leg kicks, high leg, you know, knee lifts and stuff. So anyway, we'll get into all that and more as we go on to this episode, as we're building up to No Way Out. And it's all about the number one contenders. It's all about the title hunt. Who is going to get a title shot at No Way Out against the champion, the undisputed champion who was able to hold on to the title, Chris Jericho. Jeez, I thought The Rock was going to win. You know, if you know, watching back in 2002, Royal Rumble, The Rock versus Chris Jericho, you would think The Rock was going to win that title and be on his way to WrestleMania. But no, Chris Jericho hangs on to it. Like the dirty, small heel that he is, he keeps that title. So we'll be getting into all that in just a moment. But before we do, follow us on Twitter, at BottomLineCast. Follow me, Mike Pru, at MPRU83, and also give John Van Damage a follow, at John Van Damage. That's JV, at John Van Damage. And if you have some extra time, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcast, we'd appreciate a 5-star review. That'd be nice if you're enjoying the show over the past 2.5 years. And also, give us a nice little write-up about what you like about the show. We'd definitely appreciate that, guys. All right, so last week was a nice little watch along for the most part. We did the Royal Rumble 2002, and it's always fun to do that, JV. So we get to take a look at all the entrants, the good, the bad, and the ugly, of course. A lot of ugly, usually, in the Royal Rumble, and a limited good. But Royal Rumble's fun, nonetheless, always, and Triple H came out the winner there and is on his road to WrestleMania. So here we have it. We're going to kick off that road to WrestleMania, starting first with a Raw 451 from January 21st, 2002. This is live in Greenville, South Carolina. And if you're going to watch this episode on the cock, it's Raw, Monday Night Raw, Season 10, Episode 3. How fucking sad is that?
It's so sad. Very sad.
I shouldn't be doing it, but... hey,
nah,
who knows?
It's good to help.
Who knows how long this is going on?
It helps me.
Yeah, it does. This cock experiment. But yeah, it's at least 3 years, right? That's what we got?
Yeah. Yep.
I hope after 3 years they say, screw this, it sucks.
This was a failure, we're done.
They would never admit to failure, though. That's the problem. They'll just keep taking money.
Yeah, you're right.
As long as the cock wants it. All right, so enough of cock, and let's move on to Monday Night Raw 451. We're going to start with a promo from Chris Jericho. Now, usually, you know, we'll stick to Stone Cold Steve Austin, but because of what we're coming off of with Royal Rumble, building up to WrestleMania, want to keep an eye on the championship scene, right? So I figured, right after these events of the Royal Rumble, let's see what's going on with the main figures in the company at this point. So I'll be touching on a lot of that. JV's going to probably be more strictly with Stone Cold, what's going on with Stone Cold in his coverage of SmackDown. But on the Raws, I'll try to touch on some of the stuff going on with the big guns. So we'll start with Chris Jericho, and he has a promo. And he comes out there. The crowd is filled with negative Jericho signs. And my first thought was, damn, what happened to his fan base? Like, he had a huge fan base for a while, and now they're just totally shitting on him. And maybe it has to do with, you know, Triple H being back. It's like, all right, we switch our allegiance to Triple H. Jericho, you're screwed now. We got The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold. You're in the back seat now. So Jericho comes out there. He tells the audience, he tried to tell them he would be the undisputed champion of the world 24 hours after the Royal Rumble. Nobody believed him, but he is. So Jericho tells a story of how friends called each other and they were coming over and let's come over to your house. We're going to watch Jericho lose against The Rock. Which, I was thinking, hey, that's probably what was going on around the country for sure. Let's go watch Jericho lose to The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, and I forgot what happened. I just assumed The Rock won that.
Yeah, exactly. So Jericho goes on to say, you called up Frank, and he said, hey, Frank, you want to watch The Rock kick Chris Jericho's ass? And Frank said, oh, sure, yeah. I want to see The Rock win the Undisputed Championship and go all the way to WrestleMania. It's a foregone conclusion, right? So the main reason why I wanted to bring up this whole Frank thing with Chris Jericho is because a loyal listener, a good friend, Frank Alves, who has been a big supporter of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast for many, many years, 2.5 years, and also a supporter of the Hurricane Rana Wrestling Podcast, and also like put it in my ear to say, hey, do another fucking podcast. And that's what led to Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. It was, oh shit, somebody wants to listen to us? All right, let's try it again. So, Frank Alves, I thought of you because I was like, damn, shit, we went to high school together. I wish I would have known your fucking wrestling love at the time. You know, around this time, we could have fucking been talking about this shit. But now here we are, years later. And I'm talking on a podcast that you listen to. and we're communicating through it that way. But man, that would have been cool back in high school to talk about it. So anyway, Jericho gloats. The Rock. The Rock lost. So he's pointing out, man, I beat The Rock. And you guys are bitching me out. So Jericho bitches to the crowd that they should appreciate him. And that what he's accomplished so far. Because he's far too great to ignore. I have done what no other man has done. I have earned the right to be called the Undisputed Champion. Damn it! And he's right. Because there is no other Undisputed Champion.
Extra whiny here, but he's definitely got a point. He has a right to whine here and complain.
Exactly. So Jericho tells the fans to stand up and give him a standing ovation. That's great. That's great heat. And so you get him waiting for the crowd, but then this is all just setting up time to play the game. And he got Triple H come out. So Triple H comes out. He heads down to the ring. He's got the jean. He's got the leather. He's got the t-shirt combo. All that's going on. And guess what he has on his legs? Some raggedy ass track pants.
Ah, they suck. They're like old people pants. And he's right. Not old.
Oh, of course not. But he's looking, it's funny because he looks so badass up top. He's got, you know,
yeah.
I got my t-shirt, leather vest, jean jacket vest over the top of that, and then fucking some shitty ass pants from fucking Walmart. Raggedy ass, as I said. So he heads down there, and I guess he feels comfortable, fine, whatever, but you're on TV, man. Just wear the jeans. What a tight jeans. So anyway, he heads down there, and I got to point out, since I just made fun of Triple H, I got to point out that Jericho looked like a fucking clown too. Jericho had black and white checkered pants on. That's more his style. I get that. But it looks fucking silly. Black and white checkered pants.
Yeah, I like the next version of Jericho we get in a few years.
Yes. All right, so
for like he's grown a little too old for like the gimmick. Like this is at the point where it's like, he might be aging out of his attire.
Right, and he's always good to recognize that too. Like, oh shit, gotta switch it up.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so it's almost like he's still too much Monday Night Jericho, WCW version. Yes,
yep.
It's like, all right, you got the title, man. You gotta fucking change your story here. You gotta get new gear. Alright, so from there, Triple H calls out Jericho claiming that he's beating everyone. Triple H says that there's no man that he, Chris Jericho, he's saying, has never defeated. He says, and the fact is, Chris Jericho, that man is me. So, Jericho has never defeated Triple H. Triple H makes a guarantee that I will stand in this ring at the greatest spectacle of them all, WrestleMania, and I will compete for the Undisputed World Wrestling Federation Championship. Okay, of course we get it confirmed. He is the Rumble winner. Yeah, we know. So that's why he's going to go for the title. And then Triple H questions Jericho if he will be at WrestleMania. So what balls does Triple H have? Triple H has just won the Royal Rumble, and he's already fucking questioning the champ. Are you going to be at Royal Rumble? Because I'm going to be at Royal Rumble. I won the at WrestleMania, rather. Are you going to be at WrestleMania? So I just thought that was pretty true to what people think of Triple H. It's like, all right, he wins the Royal Rumble, and now he's questioning the champ. Are you going to be at WrestleMania?
Yeah, the guy's been out of action for months.
Right. Shows you just showed up.
He's like, yeah.
He's almost saying, you're the champ, fuck you.
He's acting like he's the Undisputed Champ.
Right. Like, fuck off, dude. You just came back 2 weeks ago. Man. Jericho has a right to be pissed off. What a dickhead statement from Triple H. And this is supposed to be babyface Triple H, too. And from, just a little preview, little heads up of what we're going to get to soon over the next couple of weeks. Is that he continues on this path of being, are you a babyface or not? Because the way you're acting doesn't seem so. But I guess that maybe that's the attitude of the time. And not to say attitude era, but the attitude of the time is, the good guys are supposed to be shitting on the bad guys, regardless. So anyway, Jericho can't believe what Triple H just said. Triple H tells Jericho that he has 2 months to prove that he's a living legend. Triple H tells Jericho, if you make it to WrestleMania, it will be time to play the game. This, I just let out a, oh.
Same here when I watched it.
They've already made it like Triple H is WrestleMania. Now we got to guess who his opponent is rather than the other way. When you have a champion, it's like, who's going to face the champion? It's like, oh, who's going to face Triple H now? Because Triple H has this fucking card that says, oh, I get to go to WrestleMania. And the champion doesn't even get to have a say in it. I think the champion should get immunity from Royal Rumble. To WrestleMania.
Yep.
It's like, you're good. You're locked in at WrestleMania. You're the champion. At this point, you're safe. You're in the main event.
Yeah, it should be a free ride.
Right. It should just lock in at Royal Rumble. Whoever the champion is at Royal Rumble at the end of the night, and whoever wins the Royal Rumble, that's the main event. There's no fucking around with.
Yeah, then they tell a story for the next few months.
Right. That's the way it should be. So anyway, that's not the way they're going to do it, obviously. And that's like the whole point of this episode that we're covering here. It's called the title hunt. So we know that it's going to lead to who's going to get title shots over the next couple of months. And here we are in January, already planning for what's going to happen in February at the pay-per-view called No Way Out. So they're already setting up. Who's going to face Jericho as a potential person to win the title to go on to WrestleMania? Then what's the big draw for Royal Rumble if somebody at No Way Out is going to get to go to WrestleMania? It just sucks if they, booking wise, if they do that. All right, so from there, Kurt Angle's music's going to hit. He's going to come out. He's pissed off too. So now we're getting all the contenders out. We got Triple H. Chris Jericho's out there. He's the champion. Now Kurt Angle wants to say something. Kurt Angle's bitching about how he almost tossed Triple H out of the ring. And then, Triple H entered the ring and he came in and said, "You didn't give me one word or warning." Then Angle continues to whine to Triple H. And the crowd is giving Angle the what, over and over again. Kurt Angle is sick of the crowd. He heads right to the ring. He goes on to take on Triple H. Triple H knocks down Jericho, kicks Angle in the gut, sets up for a pedigree. Jericho backs up, nails Triple H with the championship belt. Jericho gets the walls on Triple H. And then the Rock's music hits. So, Rock music hits. He runs down to help Triple H. The Rock clears the ring. Now you have Jericho and Angle retreat to the back. So, we're setting up for a main event on Raw here, with Jericho and Angle taking on The Rock and Triple H. So, Triple H is getting all the star treatment lately. He's getting to work with Stone Cold. Now he's working with The Rock. Just elevating him up even more and more. Be on this babyface status against these chicken shit heels, Jericho and Kurt Angle. Now from there we get to some Stone Cold stuff. And yeah, Stone Cold time. Yeah, about time for sure. But Stone Cold, probably not happy about this, is while he's just seeing everybody else get to have fun in the opening of this episode after Royal Rumble, where Stone Cold was a Final Four contestant in the Royal Rumble. He had to watch them have their whole little schlaw, for a long time and get to put themselves over. But now Stone Cold has to be involved in a story with Mr. Perfect, who was also in the Final Four of the Royal Rumble. So backstage we have Mr. Perfect talking to Deborah. And man, this is a shitty ass minute of a promo. Because Mr. Perfect is not meant for this time period. Maybe in the ring he can be fine. But if he's going to be involved in storylines, then, man, that's a bad decision.
This was weird to me because I don't remember this.
I didn't either.
And I was thinking, like, is this, and as I was watching this, I'm thinking, is this WWF trying to give Mr. Perfect a push? Or is this truly like them downgrading Stone Cold, like a way to move him down the card?
Oh, man.
Without making him feel like I could feel how, like, I can almost see how this is, because you're like, hey, Stone Cold, we got Mr. Perfect coming back, everyone respects Mr. Perfect, we're gonna put you in a feud with him. So how the fuck that conversation go over? I don't know. We'll find out how long this feud lasts, but
yeah, I don't think it's long, but it is kind of shitty. Not, but the night after Royal Rumble, to be like, oh, yeah, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah, a guy that hasn't wrestled in like fucking 6 years. Here you go.
Right, and he's not really going to be pushed at all after this. So, but anyway, in this segment, we have Mr. Perfect talk to Deborah about Stone Cold. So Mr. Perfect goes up to Deborah backstage and asks her if Stone Cold is his wife. Oh, I mean, if Stone Cold is married to Deborah, which is fucking stupid. Deborah's like, yeah. And then Mr. Perfect says, I go way back with Stone Cold. And Deborah's like, really? Really? Perfect's like, no, not really. And then just at that, I was like, where is this going? This sucks. Like, do you know him? Yeah, I know him. We go way back. Do you really? Oh, no, I don't. What the fuck you talking about? So anyway, then Mr. Perfect changes his tune and says, no, I just want you to know that Stone Cold shouldn't have thrown me out of the Royal Rumble like that. And he goes on to say, he cost me a title shot. Deborah rightly says, why are you telling me? Why don't you tell him? which is spot on. Like, what the fuck you bitching to me about? Go talk to him. Perfect doesn't answer. And then he says, your husband's great. He's the toughest SOB in the WWF, but he's not perfect. This is horrible. Oh my God. It's horrible. And then he even tries to do his little Mr. Perfect thing. Tries to spit out the gum.
Spit, yeah.
He nearly fucking sends that gum right down Deborah's tits. But he's able to smack it back like right at the last second, then walks away. This was a shit-ass promo. Mr. Perfect. I mean, I thought he cut good promos back in 90, 91 when they were just, like, in that one little spot. Like, hey, Hulk Hogan, whatever. Like, cheap-ass promos. No real storytelling at the time. But now he's being teamed up with Deborah. Oh, man. What a bad situation. Maybe they were burying Mr. Perfect, rather. All right, Mr. Perfect, we brought you in. We told you we're going to get you in a good spot. We're going to have you in the final four at Royal Rumble. But on the next night on Raw, your first promo is going to be with Deborah. We're going to fuck you. I guess it could have gone either way. Who are they fucking? Stone Cold or are they fucking Mr. Perfect?
Mr. Perfect, yeah. Like, did they promise Mr. Perfect something in order for him to come back and do an appearance at Rumble? I'd love to know what the fuck the plan was here.
So anyway, in a dream match of sorts.
Yeah.
For the time period, because I liked one guy at the time, and he was back. And then another guy came back that I loved when I was, you know, 10 years younger. And that's Mr. Perfect versus Val Venus. And I feel like there's some similarities between the two as wrestlers. You know, just different time periods. But anyway, they have their match, and this match is going to tie into Stone Cold Steve Austin, of course, because we just had that set up with Deborah. So anyway, Val Venus is back, and he's looking for someone from the audience to take his towel off. So he's back in his full gimmick. He picks one of the planted hot chicks in the front row. She comes in, takes the towel off, and Val makes out with her on the floor, on the mat, rather. And then Mr. Perfect's music hits, which ends that promo scene. Not promo scene, that porno scene.
Chick from the crowd.
Yeah.
So, his friend was hotter.
Right. So the first thing I thought with these two guys, because I like both of them, Perfect and Venus, is that they're both returning guys, and they got to go at it with each other. They both came back at the Royal Rumble. Now they're in a match with each other. So the first thing you're thinking is, one of them's going to lose. Why would you put two new guys back in the same match? Instantly going to fuck somebody over. But they planned it out perfectly. Oh, that was a pun. So they planned it out just right here. And Austin's music hits. So at that point, I'm like, oh, all right, perfect then. Because, you know, Austin comes out. Nobody has to really take the loss. Austin heads down there, grabs a steel chair. He nails Perfect with the chair, hits him in the head. And no one has to lose here. So match just fucking ends. There's no finish. And it's just a nice spot for Austin to come in. And we get a promo from Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin heads down in there. And Val Venus gets in the ring, though. After Austin gets in there. So Austin nails, like I said, Austin nails Perfect with the steel chair. Then Val Venus slides back into the ring. And he goes, hello, Stone Cold. So Austin then turns around. He looks over. Val says, Perfect got what he deserved because he didn't come face to face with Stone Cold to deliver his message about being pissed about that chair shot last night. And then Val tells Austin he wouldn't be going to Austin's pretty little wife like Mr. Perfect did. Which is a good move by Val. Be like, I'm not a little bitch like Perfect was.
I thought Val was good here.
Yeah.
And I forgot how big he was because he's huge. Like bigger than Stone Cold.
It's right.
Like, it's kind of.
Yeah, just completely bigger. So he goes on and says, you know, the big Valbowski would look you in the eyes and whoop your ass. And then Austin's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. So Austin takes the mic. He looks down, turns around, walks back to Val, kicks him right in the gut. Boom, we get the stunner. Then he gives him the what treatment. You had something to say to me? What? You had something to say to me? What? You got something to say to Stone Cold? You want to say something to Stone Cold? You got time? You got lots of time? Get your ass out of here. He says, get the hell out of here. So Austin looks at his wrist. Said, well, that didn't take as long as I thought it would. So I got a little story to tell you guys. A little story to tell you guys. You want to hear a little story? You want to hear a little story? Give me a hell yeah. And then we get a fucking story. Another story here. And he says, this ain't a story about a man named Jed. Jed from Beverly Hillbillies, of course. And he goes, you know, the poor Mountaineer barely kept his family fed. Then one day, he was shooting at some food, and up came bubbling crude, black gold, Texas tea, money, mucho dinero. Next thing you know, Jed is a millionaire. Austin then continues the story. California is the place you ought to be. They loaded up the truck, the old jalopy. And then he goes on and on with some other descriptions of shitty-ass cars. He goes, the bottom line is they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Which I popped on that of myself. It's like, oh, he paused and then he threw in the hills, that is. So Austin continues on. Stone Cold, I'm thinking Stone Cold probably just, like, in the hotel the night before, randomly popped on Beverly Hills Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Like in the morning, like 5:30 in the morning.
It was like on one of those black and white channels.
Right, one of those deals. Like
whatever MeTV was back in 2000.
Like, exactly. And he just caught that. He was like, damn, this is going to be a hell of a promo. And that's all he did was just fucking sing the Beverly Hillbillies song. That's what he did. And I'm willing to say fucking that's what happened. That's a guarantee.
Yeah. And just from listening to Stone Cold, a lot of the stuff he kind of
off the top, like
is off the top. It's right. Quick. It's, you know, saw this and came up with this.
Yep. Nothing special. Especially at this point, all these years in, 2002. Yeah. How fucking creative are you getting at that point? Oh, shit. Hit Beverly Hillbillies. All right, I'll steal that and use that. I can say whatever. As long as I get the crowd to say what, I'll fucking do whatever.
they're just happy to be involved.
Yeah. So anyway, Austin's going to wrap it up. He says, well, I'm not going to tell you that story, which is awesome because he starts off saying, I'm not going to tell you a story about the man named Jed, but he tells the whole fucking story. I'm not going to tell you that, though. Ah, good stuff. So Austin then moves on. He wants to tell a story of how he trained real hard for the Royal Rumble. And then we get the what? Yeah, we get the what after every pause. So, Austin then goes on to say, you know, how he trained, he lowered his center of gravity by eating tacos, enchiladas, drinking beer, drinking whiskey, eating cheeseburgers, drinking tequila, eating some more enchiladas. And I think at that point, Austin had to give himself a moment to think of something new. Probably like, shit, I already said enchiladas. And then he switches right over at that point after he pauses and goes, I did a couple of push-ups. Perfect change up. Just switch over to the workout routine.
New subject. Off food.
Yeah, fuck food. I'm saying the same food over again. Let me switch to the workout. Then he goes, I got pull-ups, sit-ups. And then this is great. Okay, I didn't really do sit-ups. Which makes sense, because he ate so much fucking food. Too much tacos, too much whiskey, too much enchiladas. So Austin gets to his main point. Two sons of bitches got real lucky and threw Stone Cold Steve Austin over the top rope. I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, flabbergasted, eliminated. Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't going to WrestleMania to face the champ. That's the bad news. You want the good news? I love how he points that out, too. Like, I'm not going to WrestleMania. I lost. I got fucked. But you want to know what's coming next? I know it's a little early, but Stone Cold Steve Austin is entering himself into next year's Royal Rumble for 2003. Not happening. He won't be here. So, damn, that sucks. So, Austin continues. Well, I'm not going to WrestleMania this year to face the champ. The good news is Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to WrestleMania to whoop somebody's ass. Scott Hall. Scott Hall stunned to the moon.
the best sell of all time.
But yeah, it's funny though. At this point, you're like, oh shit, something good's gonna happen, and then we get saddled with that. But we'll be getting to that in no time because WrestleMania creeps up early. It's in early March this year, so we don't have to wait until April for Mania. So Austin continues on, brothers and sisters, are you with me? This threw me off. Brothers and sisters, are you with me? That's something new that he's going with here.
Yeah, he hasn't said that before.
Well, brothers and sisters, are you with me? Stone Cold Steve Austin. Love. Yeah, really, right, no shit. We're going to WrestleMania, and I'm going to whoop a man's ass, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. So, my thought of this promo is that it was meant to appease the Stone Cold fans that wanted him in the main event at WrestleMania. So Austin comes out just to make it clear that he will be at WrestleMania. And he is going to kick someone's ass. But sorry, everybody. I won't be in the main event. It's like he's already putting it out there.
Positioning it, yeah.
Right. It's like, I'm not going to be there. I basically already have word. Which kind of ruins what we're building to throughout the rest of this episode. Because it's like he already knows. You're not at WrestleMania. Because it is only 7 weeks away at this point. So they're not going to change course. Be like, oh, Austin, you're not there right now. But, oh, 2 weeks later, yeah, you are going to be there. Like, they know it's not going to be Austin in the main event. They're going Triple H and Chris Jericho. That's already their plan. Because Vince McMahon has his dick hard for Triple H.
Yep, and he's always has the main event.
Ready.
Right. Ready, yep.
Yep. So he's pointing out here to the crowd right then and there, which is a good thing to point out because, you know, that just shows that the next month is pointless. You know, it's just filler. All right, so take a listen to Stone Cold tell a little story about a man named Jeb, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hold up. Now, Mr. Perfect, he got exactly what he deserved. You see, he didn't have the guts to come to you face to face to deliver his message.
What message?
Now, if the Big Valboski ever had a problem with Stone Cold, I wouldn't go to your pretty little wife to deliver the message. No, 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 no. The Big Valboski would look you dead square in your eyes. And if he had to, the Big Valboski would whoop your ass.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
A little spittle. Wow. What?
What? You got something to say? What? You had something to say to me? What? You got something to say to Stone Cold? What? You want to say something to Stone Cold?
What?
You got time?
What?
You got lots of time?
What?
Get your ass out of here.
What? My house is still on a roll from the Rumble.
Well, I look at my watch, that didn't take as long as I thought it would. So I think I got time to tell you people a little story. Y'all want to hear a story? If you want to hear a story, give me a hell yeah. Well, this ain't a story about a man named Jed. You know that poor mountaineer? Barely kept his family fed. Then one day, he was shooting at some food.
What?
Up from the ground came a bubbling crude.
What?
Black gold.
What?
Texas tea.
What?
Money.
What?
Mucho dinero.
What?
Next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire.
What?
And the kinfolk said, hey, Jed. That's what he said. What? And he said, hey, Jed. Move away from there. California. California. You know the West Coast. California's your place you ought to be. So they loaded up that truck. That bucket of rust. That pile of junk. That old jalopy. Bottom line was, they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools. Movie stars. The Beverly Hillbillies. Well, I'm not here to tell you that story.
What?
I'm here to tell you the story about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Went to the Royal Rumble. I trained hard. I trained real hard. I ate tacos, enchiladas, drank beer, drank whiskey, ate cheeseburgers, drank tequila, ate some more enchiladas. I even did a couple of push-ups, pull-ups. Sit-ups. Okay, I didn't really do the sit-ups.
We knew it.
Two sumbitches got real lucky and threw Stone Cold over the top rope. I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, flabbergasted, eliminated. Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't going to WrestleMania to face the champ. That's the bad news. You want the good news? Stone Cold Steve Austin right now, and I know it's a little early. I said it's a little early. But I'm entering myself in next year's Royal Rumble for 2003.
What?
And while I'm not going to WrestleMania this year to face the champ, the good news is Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to WrestleMania. To whip somebody's ass. I said whip somebody's ass. Brothers and sisters, are you with me? I'm going to torture somebody. I'm going to bloody somebody. Do you understand me? Brothers and sisters, are you with me? Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to WrestleMania. And I'm going to whip a man's ass. And that's the bottom line. Cause Stone Cold said so.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. What a story. God almighty. He's entered the Royal Rumble. Wait a minute, he's going to WrestleMania. And now he's going to have a Steve Weiser. No, he's starting his training already.
All right, so from there, I just want to touch on a couple side notes that I pointed out. We have done side notes for a while, but I did want to point out a couple things. That the Godfather is back. And during our Royal Rumble watch-along, we had talked about the Godfather coming out at the Royal Rumble with his hoes, but the hoes didn't look like hoes anymore. They looked like moms, is kind of how I phrased them to be, or like, you know, your wife on a night out with her friends, something like that type thing. So this all makes sense now because the Godfather is no longer a pimp. The Godfather's gone legit. And he's running an escort service. It's the Godfather Escort Service. And they're not hoes, they're escorts. So they're dressed up in different type of gear than they usually used to be. So that's the look they were going for. Is that women on a Friday night out with their friends, that's escort style clothing. That's not hoe clothes.
The escorts are a little bit more clean looking.
Right.
More classy.
Right. Escorts are more like, oh, nobody will know that this isn't a whore. This is my date. That's what it's meant to be. Oh, man. That's funny.
And if you're a whore and you're listening to this, please don't take offense.
Well, you can't take offense if you're a whore, right?
Can you? Yeah, you'd be surprised if people take offense.
I'm a whore!
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a criminal. I take offense to being a criminal.
Would you hold it past people? I've heard people take offense to being called something that they are. It's like, well, you are.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I wanted to acknowledge that from the Royal Rumble that, hey, we got a clear answer. He is no longer a pip. He's running an escort service. And then also, I did notice in the crowd there is a sign that says Ring of Honor, February 23rd, Philadelphia. It's like, shit, this is pretty early, 2002.
Yeah, when I saw this in your notes, I was like, what the fuck?
So let me look that up.
They've been around for almost 20 years.
Yeah, so I was like, shit, maybe that's close because I knew they were around 2003. Oh, 2002, maybe that's when they started. So, yeah, I looked it up, and it's their first show. Ring of Honor, February 23rd. It is now called The Era of Honor Begins. And this is a show you could buy. You can find this footage. And I actually went on a detour when I was taking these notes and ended up watching two final matches because they were available. I just typed into YouTube, the Era of Honor Begins, and I watched the final two matches. You had the Briscoes on the show. The main event was Low-key defeating Christopher Daniels and Brian Danielson. Daniel Bryan. Hell of a match. The match before was super crazy against Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, shit.
So super crazy defeated Eddie Guerrero. And, man, I didn't know Eddie Guerrero was in ROH at all. Never mind the first show. Probably, I don't know how many more shows he was in, but he was on the first show.
Was he not under contract with WWF?
No. Yeah, because he hasn't been there in a while.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was just off TV.
Yeah, no, he was not on the contract at this point. So, yeah, so that's the kickoff of Ring of Honor here in 2002. So, not shortly after the end of everything, we get this company that pops off and makes a huge impact on wrestling. It's tough to deny ROH or even TNA to some extent. Playing a role in the wrestling world, you know, because a lot of their biggest stars, ROH and TNA, are the stars of WWE today, and I guess in some part AEW too, even though I think AEW has more homegrown or more like indie talent that's come over that were never in ROH and AEW. But yeah, I just wanted to point that out. So good stuff there. Also, we continue to get some Stephanie and Triple H, and I'll just sum it up real quickly. Triple H and Stephanie are not getting along at this point, and that's the crazy thing. Hunter just won. He just came back, and now he has this poor, shitty attitude towards Stephanie, who's been, like, probably his greatest supporter, helping him through his injuries and whatnot, but the moment he comes back to wrestling, he's like, fuck off! Get the hell out of here. I don't need your fucking whiny ass around me anymore.
It's like, this is like roid rage.
Yeah. That's what it comes off as.
Get out of here, bitch.
Get the fuck out of here. You leave me alone. Don't come down to the ring anymore.
Yeah. I don't fucking need you. Were you with me in the gym?
Right, but, you know.
Building these shoulders?
But, you know, they're not really married, you know. In real life at this point. But the story is they're married.
I always forget when they actually get fucking married.
I think it's in like a couple of years. But okay. They're not married at this point.
Are they dating?
Maybe they probably are at this point because China's not around. So they're probably fucking at this point. But,
but are like, you guys fucking?
Imagine saying that to you. Yeah. That's what, you know, fucking... People say, like, in high school, you banging? You fucking? It's like, none of your business, fucker.
Hey, Paulie and Steph, you guys fucking?
What kind of shit you doing? But, all right, anyway.
All them titties.
All right, let's move on. We can go on. This is right up our old school alley of conversation.
This will go right off the rails.
Yeah.
Let's get back on topic.
But, yeah. Triple H, you would think, you know, he's working out, he's focusing on training. You think, you know, his wife, Stephanie, is probably helping him out a lot at this point. You know, making sure his clothes are washed, He's injured. Making sure his stuff's right. Getting him lunch prepared, maybe. Breakfast prepared. Helping him out in all those different ways. Well, it's probably why he had shitty pants.
That's why he's mad.
Where are my fucking Lee dungarees?
Where's my good pants? Fuck. Got stuck with these freaking... These were in the wash.
These are two-stripe Adidas.
These were in the wash. You put them in the dryer and you left them there for 2 weeks.
They look wet, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They look like when you take them out of the dryer too soon. Or they were in there overnight and you forgot to turn the dryer on.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's more likely because he fucking dumps a gallon of water on his head before he comes out to the ring. So anyway, you'd think they'd be having a good relationship, but Triple H is being a dickhead at this point. So I just wanted to point that out. And then we quickly go to the main event. It's The Rock and Triple H versus Kurt Angle and Chris Jericho. In the finish, we have Triple H dominating the entire match, of course, because it's all about him. It's all about the game and how you're going to play it. It's all about control and who's going to take it. And that's enough of me trying to sing the song like I'm fucking William Shatner. So Triple H continues to dominate and sets Angle up for the pedigree. But Jericho is climbing to the top rope with the belt, presumably to nail Triple H. Triple H notices Jericho and pushes Angle into the turnbuckle to prevent the attack. Triple H then hits the pedigree on Angle to win the match. But you get Chris Jericho flying off of the top rope. And the match continues on. So Triple H thought he had Angle, but no, Jericho flies in there to prevent that. Triple H and Angle are both on the mat now. The Rock and Jericho are both looking for the hot tag. Those hot tags are made. The Rock punches Jericho into the corner of the ring, lands a huge punch, knocking Jericho to the mat. Jericho quickly recovers and hits a bulldog on The Rock. Jericho goes out of the ring, grabs the ring bell. Jericho goes to nail The Rock. Ducks, then Jericho knocks out Kurt Angle instead. The Rock hits the rock bottom on Jericho for a 3-count victory. So there you have the Undisputed Champion taking the pinfall. And they are really, and we'll see it over the course of this, Jericho is taking a beating as the champ. They really want him to look like he doesn't deserve to be the champion, which is a shame. You know, they give him the honors to be the champion, but it's like, no, you're going to be the champion that just kind of holds on to it, which fits his role, I guess, but doesn't really elevate him after. Like, because if he loses it, then where is he standing?
Yeah, where does he go?
Right. Yep. So The Rock and Triple H stand victorious as the show comes to a close. Then now that brings us to SmackDown. JV's going to take us away from there. JV, what do you got?
All right, so we're at SmackDown 126. And, you can't find this on the network yet as of this recording because they're still way the fuck behind. So as we've been doing, you know, over the past few episodes, we're using video that we've, you know, Mike found on Daily Motion. So I'll get into that. This was on January 24th, 2002, taped on January 22nd, and we're in North Charleston, South Carolina. So not much on this show, but, you know, it starts off our coverage here with a match, followed by a backstage interview. So we're gonna kick off with the match here. And if you're asking what that match is, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it's against Booker T. And it's it's a number one contenders match for No Way Out. So Booker T is out first. He's followed by Steve Austin, who gets his usual thunderous cheers from the crowd. Austin is rocking our favorite vest, which is the vest with the gold stitching on the vest. So, we love that one.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. So the crowd, one thing I will say is that the crowd's actually doing a really good job making this feel like a high stakes match. Like, they're pumped. I don't know if they don't do a lot of shows in North Charleston, South Carolina, or haven't really been paying attention. But this crowd is fucking, like, loving the fact that WWF's there.
Yeah, and I don't think they do a lot.
This match is happening.
They haven't been doing a lot there.
Yeah, it just had, like, that vibe, you know? Like, this felt like a big match. I'm like, what the fuck? This crowd's, like, into it. So things get feisty to start off the match. They're fighting. They're actually, fighting corner to corner. The ref, you know, tries to break them up unsuccessfully. Austin ends up hitting a big right hand on Booker T that stops Booker T in place. So Booker T is just kind of standing there looking at Austin in the corner because, you know, Stone Cold hit him really good with a big right. And it's almost like Stone Cold knocked the taste out of Booker T's mouth. So Booker T just kind of staring at him, like, you know, wiping his mouth, like, man, you fucking got me. So we go back to more corner work in this match. One thing I notice is this match has a lot of corner work. Like, they work from corner to corner to corner to corner, which was weird because it's not something you see usually for as long as they did. Eventually,
yeah, it seems like, oh, kind of like a simple plan. Let's just keep this match simple. We're going to go from here to here to here to here. And then we're going to work on this leg during this time. I mean, you'll get into more of that, but it seems like it's methodical. A simple, planned out match.
Yeah. And each, maybe it worked going to corner to corner. I mean, it's more interaction from the crowd, I guess.
That's true.
But I just thought it was weird because usually I wouldn't notice that, but I'm like, geez, they're doing a lot of fighting in the corner. And it's like a 10-minute match or something. So eventually Austin hits a nice spinning neck breaker, a swinging neck breaker rather, followed by an unsuccessful pin attempt. So he gets the first pin attempt in of the match, and, you know, obviously it's not successful. Austin continues to maintain control from there, and then we're back in the corner again. But at this point, Austin lands some chops. Booker T then counters with an atomic drop, followed by a big spinning heel kick. Booker T now has Austin in the corner, and he starts working on Austin's knee on the outside. So he kind of, you know, Austin's on the ground on his back. Both his legs are kind of like straddled over the pole, the ring post. Booker T's on the outside, and he's just kind of working on Austin's leg and knee at that point. Eventually, Austin is able to muster up enough energy as they get back in the ring and nails a Luthez press. But it's not really enough to keep Booker T down. It barely stuns Booker T. Booker T then again starts working on Austin's knee. Austin, eventually, from there, he attempts to hit a stunner. But Booker T does a nice job. He counters it, does a spin-a-rooney, and then nails his big heel kick for a two count. So Austin's he's not looking too good here. Booker T's definitely in control. Booker T actually maintains control until the finish of the match. You know, he's assaulting. He lands a big head scissors finisher, but Austin is able to kick out at two because we're in the era where finishers don't keep people down anymore. You get to hit like six of them, and that continues now to 2021. So Booker T starts calling for Austin to stand up. So Austin's down on the ground. Booker T's above him, you know, taunting him like, get up, get up. Booker T's ready, you know, assumed. You're thinking he's going to try and hit him with another scissor finish and just kind of end the match. But instead, Booker T tries to hit a stunner. But Austin counters and lands a stunner of his own for the three count and the victory. And it's implied, I believe, by the announce team. And it looks like, though, Booker T's definitely attempting a stunner here, which was interesting. And I will say, Austin did not look good at all in this match. He was very winded. He's very, like, sluggish.
When I watched it, I just thought the chemistry seemed...
Which is weird, because they've had good chemistry.
They've had good chemistry. I mean, immediately looked to, like, the grocery store, but like, oh, yeah, they had great chemistry because they did that. But then match-wise...
That's a good point.
Yeah, maybe not...
I think Booker T's style is too fast and athletic for Austin at this time.
It is, because he's jumping up, he's getting the kicks, and Austin can't immediately move out of the way for certain things at a high impact like that.
Booker T's a big, quick, right. Very quick guy.
You know, the first time they met, Booker T injured him.
Yeah.
Just a slam through a table. So in those cases where your high impact moves, they might not come off well. So Austin might be hesitant to be working with him in the ring. Whereas when they're working in the grocery store, just throwing shit at each other, really, is what they were doing. And that's not such a big deal. But yeah, when I saw your note, I was like, yeah, you're right. This kind of was not full Austin mode. It's like he was being more cautious than anything.
Yeah, the match wasn't up to par with the crowd reaction.
No, yeah,
the
right.
The crowd was just crowd's like, so happy to be them. I'm like, what is the crowd into? Because this is just like a fucking.
No, crowd's just into match. Seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah,
and like, Booker T.
Wicked into it.
Like, they're not really, and that's the thing with a live audience is, you know, we've been there, right? You're not totally paying attention to everything that's happening. You're just excited
not
about
as much as I do at home. That's for sure.
Right. You're just more excited about who's actually in the match, and going with the crowd. So if a large part of the crowd is cheering, then you're fucking up too. And you've been to WrestleMania. I've never been to WrestleMania, but I would imagine at WrestleMania, that's kind of how it flows. Is some if people are excited, then you're fucking like, ah, too. What just happened? What just happened? I'll make a decision later if it was actually good, but I'll cheer right now.
I'm in for now.
Yeah.
So yeah, nothing post match there though. So Austin just pretty much takes the victory here, and he's won his match to advance to, you know, his next match at Monday Night Raw to see who will fight Jericho for the title at No Way Out. So from there, we get into a backstage interview, and I'll cover it here, and then we'll lay out and listen to it. So it's a backstage interview, and it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's just over a minute long. Austin is backstage with Jonathan Coachman. Austin reminds Coachman that he told the world last Monday he was going to face the champ at WrestleMania and the man named Jed. Austin then repeatedly asks him if he remembers that, you know, if he remembers Austin saying that.
You remember Jed?
And, what? Yeah. And he follows everything with what until the crowd. It feels like he's doing it at this point.
To get the crowd in,
and then the crowd, you know, finally jumps in. Crowd took a little longer than usual.
Well, let me just point something out. I didn't see it in your notes, but during the match with Booker T, there was a sign in the crowd that said, "Can you stop saying what?"
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
So maybe they're sick of it.
And South Carolina is not about the what. They're about the woo, right?
So Austin just had to like nail it into him. Say it.
So Austin says he just beat Booker T. And if he beats Kurt Angle Monday, he'll face Jericho at No Way Out. Meanwhile, you can kind of hear Angle yelling in the background for Austin. Austin, Austin. And then Angle comes up and attacks Austin from behind. Austin is able to regain control until Angle hits rakes Austin in the eyes, and then grabs like a, there's like a banquet table like in the corner, and Angle grabs like a steel plate that who knows what was on it, some type of food was on it, and he cracks Austin over the head with it. Very clean, fucking very nice sound, which you'll hear shortly. So now Austin is vulnerable and down. Cole is screaming on commentary that this is an ambush. Angle locks in the ankle lock, and he's fucking psycho. We got psycho Angle right now, and he's just screaming, "What?" repeatedly, like a madman, as he's got Austin in the ankle lock. The refs come in to break the hold, and then from there, we cut to a commercial. And from there, we're going to lay out, and you can listen to it, and we'll be right back.
Stone Cold, you now move on to Monday night to face Kurt Angle, and the winner of that matchup will go to No Way Out to face Chris Jericho for the undisputed WWF Championship.
You remember last Monday when I told the world that Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't going to go to WrestleMania to face the champ? What? Do you remember that? What? Do you remember that? What? 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 Do you remember that? I told you the story about the man named Jed. Do you remember that too? Well, Stone Cold Steve Austin just beat Booker T, which that means if I beat Kurt Angle, then I face Chris Jericho at No Way Out. So then I don't go...
Hey, Kurt Angle attacking Austin. They're going to win the Monday Night. Look out. Angle and Austin going at each other. And the rattlesnake held it away on Angle. Kurt, you should have waited the Monday Night. Austin in the middle of an interview. Look at Kurt Angle with a rake to the eyes and a shot to the head of Stone Cold. With that silver serving platter, you better get some help back there. Kurt Angle ambushing Stone Cold Steve Austin, a preemptive strike on the rattlesnake before their matchup. Oh, look at that Stone Austin, look at the ankle lock. He's got it. I'm telling you,
So hope you enjoyed that. And I hope the I don't know how this audio is going to sound when we finish editing, because some of these Daily Motion videos
kind of suck.
But hopefully you can hear how much of a psycho Angle is. All right. So from there, we're going to head into the next match on SmackDown. Also, we ripped this from Daily Motion. Have you been posting these links, Mike? I think I ask this every fucking week.
Not less. Actually, no.
I don't think you can.
Oh, we didn't do anything for the Royal Rumble, but I did for the previous episode. Yeah.
Oh, you did. All right. So you could, you know, keep an eye out for these links. I'm sure Mike will get these out to everyone. So we're going to get into a match here. Not much. The video we actually have doesn't cover the whole match. It covers basically just the finish into the post match.
Which is all we need.
Right. And that match is, it's No Way Out. It's a number one contenders match, number two for No Way Out. And it's The Rock versus Kurt Angle.
It sounds like a puzzle. The number one contender match, number two.
Yeah.
It's the second of the number one contender matches.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
So it's like a tournament.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what they should have fucking just called it. People love tournaments.
Right.
That's why I missed the real King of the Ring.
Right, exactly.
All right, so right into the finish here. The Rock hits a big spine buster on Kurt Angle and then locks in the sharpshooter on Kurt Angle. And he's got Angle in the fucking, like, dead center of the ring. Like, Angle's dead to rights right now. The Rock looks to have this match wrapped up with the slop shooter.
Yes, slop shooter.
The crowd's fucking loving it. They might be more over for Rock than they were for Austin right now. But who shows up? Chris fucking Jericho. So he shows up and he pulls the ref out of the ring. And of course, he's pulling the ref out of the ring just as Angle's tapping. So Angle's tapping like crazy. You know, he's done. He can't take a pain of the slop shooter anymore. But of course, the ref can't see it because he's outside of the ring with fucking Jericho. Meanwhile, The Undertaker, which this is fucking shocking to me, because I did not see The Undertaker getting involved. The Undertaker sneaks into the ring and nails The Rock with a choke slam. Now the crowd is pissed. They're fucking pissed. They're treating Taker like a fucking heel, like nuclear heat. He's fucking getting booed by the entire crowd. They're not happy with Taker. So Angle capitalizes on this opportunity and pins The Rock for the victory. And we're going to get Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kurt Angle next Monday on Raw.
Whew, big match.
Now, post-match, Taker's at the top of the ring, and he's staring at The Rock from the... Taker's at the top of the ramp, and he's staring at The Rock from up there. And he's just kind of like, you know, staring on. The Rock's fucking defeated. He's like wiping the taste out of his fucking, you know, wiping the fucking drool off his face and shit. And, you know, he's defeated in the middle of the ring and he's talking shit, you know, from his back on the mat to fucking Taker. And we have a new fucking wrinkle in everything that's going on, and that's Undertaker. He's fucking, you know, he's announced that.
I'm going after The Rock.
He's a main event player. He's going after The Rock. So, you know, Taker kind of announced himself to be a main event player with it. If you remember how everything went down with him announcing himself as an entrant in the Rumble. And
he got screwed in the Rumble.
Yes, he did.
Screwed by Maven. And more so the Hardy brothers, actually. And Lita screwed him. And then Maven took advantage and dropkicked
his fucking
ass
Lita
out.
Was even in the ring trying to fight.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, Taker's reminding everyone that, you know, he's the big dog. This is his fucking yard. And
right.
He's and going after the new young buck, the fucking Rock.
And he's in the title hunt. So this title hunt is huge, leading up to No Way Out. All these top guys are involved.
Yeah, he wants the gold.
I want the gold.
What I'm interested to see is because we know what this WrestleMania turns into. Yeah. I can't wait to see how we fucking get there. I know it's disappointing, but
well, it sucks.
I totally forget.
It's like right at this point, you got a certain mind frame of what WrestleMania could be at this point, but then it all gets flipped. Turned upside down like fucking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, and I don't see how it happens. That's why I forget. Like, I can't wait to see.
And then it's just next week it's like, new world order.
Okay.
And then everything changes at that point.
Interesting.
And that's coming. And it's coming on this next episode that we're going to cover.
So from here, I'm going to hand the reins of the show over to Prue. That's all we have for SmackDown. There ain't much. We might have missed something. I don't know. Like, I don't know where you're pulling the information from, Mike, to kind of.
No, if there's anything that you did miss, I think I bring up some of the things in Raw, my Raw coverage.
Okay.
Like, side story-wise. But nothing with Austin. You didn't miss any Austin shit.
Yeah.
But maybe some other little side story stuff.
Yeah.
Not covered. But we'll cover it on the Raw.
All right. And then from there, Mike, you can take the reins of the show from here. You're going to cover Raw 452, and we're moving a little north to Richmond, Virginia for this one.
All right. Thanks, Davey. Now we're on to Raw 452 from January 28th, 2002, live in Richmond, Virginia. And yes, this is Season 10, Episode 4. And this is one of the early good episodes of Raw from 2002. So, in general, check this one out. And we're going to start with a nice promo between Mr. McMahon and Ric Flair. And as we were just alluding to, the NWO is going to be coming in to shake things up, and we cannot not cover that. You know, it's got to be brought up, and it's going to play a major role, especially on Austin's career in 2002. So we'll get into it right now here with this opening promo. Well, not opening promo. There's a match before, and then we get to the promo. It's Mr. McMahon and Ric Flair. So just to give you a little background. Here, Mr. McMahon is afraid that Ric Flair is going to cause the WWE to fall apart. Mr. McMahon had said on the previous SmackDown that the WWF has terminal cancer. And it's going to die. Now, Vince doesn't want to let that happen. So he's going to do something he really doesn't want to do. He's going to inject the WWF with a lethal dose of poison. If anybody is going to kill my creation, I will do it. Then during this promo, which was on SmackDown, Vince McMahon reveals that he's bringing in the NWO. And it's revealed when he is in his chair, he turns around his chair. There's a mirror behind him. On the back of his chair, in the reflection, it says NWO. The classic way that I get pissed off whenever I see NWO written with a capital N, capital W, and a capital O.
Yeah, that's wrong,
lowercase N, capital W, lowercase O.
And I tried to tee this reveal up in my coverage, and then you just like spoiled it at the end. I was like, I can't wait to see where this goes. And then you're like, oh, it goes here. I'm like, well, there goes my big excitement in the next. When you cover Raw.
Damn. Shit, my bad. This is live and it's uncut. It's unedited. It's Raw.
Unedited.
Well, it is edited, but.
Bottom line cast uncensored.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway. Sorry, JV. Ruined your surprise. Like, yeah, what a fuckhead. Like, I didn't know you didn't know the NWO was coming.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm going to wait and then throw it at him when he covers it.
All right, so anyway, Ric Flair heads out. He cuts a promo about Vince McMahon bringing in the NWO. Ric Flair plays a actually pretty damn good video package about the history of the WWF at this time. And it shows all the greats. And it's a nice video package showing, like, how great this company actually really has been. Over the course of what they span is about, you know, from the 60s, late 60s, and through 70s, 80s, 90s, into the early 2000s at this point. Well, I liked it. A damn good video package. So Ric Flair gives props to Vince McMahon for creating the greatest sports entertainment company in history. Flair says that Vince McMahon, you know, he's a great business partner. He's a great promoter. And I was going to call him out. He calls him out, and Vince heads to the ring. Vince comes out with his normal swagger. Not his normal swagger, rather. He comes out pretty humbled. So Flair tells McMahon, this is your baby. WWF, this is baby. There's 10,000 people here that love you for that. And the moment Ric Flair said that, I agreed. Shit. Yes. People do love Vince McMahon for that. Yeah, I don't know how much it is today, but if anybody, if they truly think about why they love wrestling, a lot of people will say they love it because of Vince McMahon. Now, I know it's maybe a regional thing, but many people from where we live,
I think it's an age demographic thing. Maybe age. Like, once you go, like, 10, like, say, 6 to 10 years older than our age, that's where I think you kind of see, you know, it's more likely that they'd be like, oh, you know, I liked, you know, NWA and all that other stuff.
Right.
All the classic territory stuff. But when we were growing up, territories were dead. When we were born, territories were dead.
They were dying out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we weren't watching it out the fucking womb. Right. You know, we didn't have
fun. We're not watching it until 5 or 6.
Four, five, six, seven years later.
Right.
Let's say 4.
Right. And what we were exposed to at my earliest age, I was 4. And I went to a show and I had a t-shirt from a show. And I have a memory of the show, as foggy as it could be. And it was WWF in Providence, Rhode Island from December of 1986. So I was about to turn 4 a week before I turned 4.
So you were 3.
I was 3, which is crazy to think that I was 3 and I remember this. But it was Hulk Hogan versus Jake the Snake. And I remember that, and I got a fucking George the Animal Steel t-shirt. And then the next day, I remember playing with my father's girlfriend at the time. He had the son of his girlfriend. We went to the show together. He got the Jake the Snake Roberts shirt, and I always fucking regret that I didn't get that one because he fucking knew better than me. I got a shitty ass George Steele shirt, and he got Jake the Snake. But anyway, we played the Double Dare home version, and that came out in 1986 too. So I was like, "Fucking, how do I remember all this shit?" Fucking, but I did. So Ric Flair feels like he needs to apologize to Vince. You know, if he didn't do something wrong, you know, that Vince would bring those guys in. Why are you going to bring these guys in from the NWO into the WWF? And Vince he's going to plead with Vince. Ric Flair is going to plead with Vince to not do this to your company. Don't do this. Flair says that. The Rock, Austin, Undertaker, Mick Foley, all these guys, they don't deserve it. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Don't screw this up. It's the best sports entertainment company in the world. And then Vince, he just stands silent. Flair asks Vince, "Now, can you possibly be thinking? What can you possibly be thinking about bringing in the NWO?" Flair wants to know what he can do to heal this situation.
And he fucking hates those guys more than anybody.
Right. Vince fucking hates those guys. They left him.
Yep.
And caused him
tough times.
Yeah, they caused him tough times, but they ultimately led to him being number one, I guess. There's another way you can think of it. So Vince takes the mic. Vince says he wants 100% of the company, and he wants Ric Flair out. Vince says the fate of the WWF lies in his hands. Which, man, that's bullshit. Vince wants 100% and says, "Ric Flair, it's in your hands." That's fucking utter bullshit. To put that all on him. Like, oh no, I'm going to do this. Give me the company. Give it to me. If not, it's your fault. If your answer is no, then the position of the NWO will flow through the WWF and destroy it.
What a villain.
It's in your hands, Rick. It's in your hands. That's nasty. Vince says he will see everybody in hell if Ric Flair doesn't agree to sell his control to Vince. If I was Ric Flair, I'd just be like, fuck it. No, I'm not selling to you. What do I care? I'll sell to somebody else. I'll sell to Shane. I'm bringing Shane back.
Yeah, or Steph.
Right. All right. So that concludes that. So we get this heat going on between Vince McMahon and Ric Flair. Vince McMahon has made it known he's bringing the NWO in if Ric Flair does not agree to sell his shares, which is intriguing. You know, we know the NWO is coming in because they want to bring him up if they weren't coming in. But it's interesting to see what Ric Flair will do. Will he be part of the NWO? Will he, you know, so many things you can do, I guess. So good shit there. All right, so now before I get into the big main event match, which is Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kurt Angle for the number one contendership match at No Way Out, I do have a few side notes that I wanted to bring up to keep our eye on the title scene. So you had Chris Jericho in a match against Maven, of all people. Chris Jericho's defending the title against Maven. Jericho claims that he's a fighting champion. So he himself has challenged Maven, of all people. So I think that's a great heel move for Chris Jericho, who's being positioned as this weak heel champion. Oh yeah, I'm a fighting champion. Maven, you got a title shot. But then Maven puts up a fight. And I think it's great, too, because even the crowd is buying into the fact that, wow, shit, maybe Maven can beat Chris Jericho. Because he's getting some offense in and whatnot. It's like, oh, shit, wow. And Maven actually looks pretty good. You know, for a short match, it's only 3 minutes long. So right at the end, though, Chris Jericho gets pissed off and basically says, fuck this. He slaps Maven in the face and then puts on the walls of Jericho. Puts on the walls of Jericho and then easily gets the win. Undertaker comes out because Undertaker's all pissed off at Raven still. And Undertaker's basically said to Raven that your ass kickings don't stop until I feel like I'm done. Like until you've paid your credit, basically, these ass kickings keep coming.
That's fucked up.
So Undertaker's going to keep kicking his ass. And he does here. And Jericho just lays back on the commentary table watching as Maven gets his ass kicked.
It's so like rookie hazing.
Yeah. Take it, kid. And then we have a match. It's Triple H and Booker T. They're having a match. And what happens here is Christian's going to interfere in the match because on SmackDown, you had some beef between Triple H and Christian. Seems pretty random, but, you know. So that happened there on SmackDown. Basically, Triple H smacked the shit out of Christian backstage. And now Christian wants to get back at Triple H. So he comes down and interferes on behalf of Booker T. Stephanie, who was told not to come down to the ring, comes running out to yell at Christian. She gets on the ring apron, slaps Christian. Christian then grabs Stephanie to, I guess, beat her up. Triple H notices. He goes over to save his wife. He punches Christian off the ring apron. But then Triple H goes on to yell at Stephanie, like, what the fuck you doing here? Get out of here. And that allows for Booker T to then push Triple H from behind right into Stephanie, knocking her off the apron. And then Booker T rolls up Triple H to get the 1-2-3 victory over the newly returned Triple H. Now, throughout this match, Triple H was doing just his punches, stomps, high knee, leg kick, high knees, and not really doing much offense. And not allowing Booker T much offense either, though. So that's kind of what we're going to get with Triple H, is that he's not going to do much offense, but he's not going to let people do much offense to him either, which doesn't make for pretty good matches, depending on who he's working with. And what we just saw with Booker T in his match with Stone Cold, sometimes Booker T struggles if he doesn't have somebody working well with him. And obviously Austin wasn't working well with him in that previous match. And we get the same thing here with Triple H. So we have this little issue going on with Triple H and Stephanie. And they're going to go backstage and they're going to be arguing as they head back to their locker room. And Triple H is basically like, get out of here. I don't want to deal with you. I mean, what an asshole, too. Like, again, yeah. Going back to, like, if it's your wife, then those things happen.
She's trying to support right. you. Like, what right. are you doing, dude?
Right. She's supporting you. You just got back to work.
She's excited.
Right. She's like, oh, shit, you're back. And, like, you're being the bad guy to her. It's just totally ass backwards. And I know why it is that way. It's because the fans are supposed to hate Stephanie and, like, Triple H. But you're making a husband be an asshole to his wife. Which is probably not the right thing to be teaching an audience. But anyway, I guess this isn't a lesson in morals. So anyway, Stephanie is apologizing to Triple H. I just wanted to help you. And everyone's like laughing at it because she's fucking apologizing. And he doesn't want to hear it. He goes to his locker room, slams the door in her face. She's like, I'm sorry, open this door, open this door. I love you. And then when she says, I love you, Triple H opens the door, looks at her like in disgust. Like, because she said, I love you. Are we supposed to believe like...
Yeah, like she's not smoking either.
Right. Or are we supposed to believe like Triple H doesn't believe it? Like he knows something we don't know yet? Like, does he know, like, oh, you're fucking somebody else and I know it, but I haven't brought it up to anybody else? Like, I know you're a sneak. And we've already talked about this, but on camera, you want to act like you're this nice person? Fuck you. Like, that's a way to go with the story. Who knows? I don't think they go that way from what I remember. But that would make sense if they did that. But from what we know at this point, that's not what's going on. Right now, we're just thinking, Triple H, you're looking like an asshole. Why are you yelling at her? She's trying to help you. She came down.
Especially with the crowd on his side and he's kind of like a position as a babyface.
Right.
And he's treating women like shit. It's like, huh? His wife? Not just any women. His wife. Right.
But you got to go back to 2001, 2002 and that's the thing on TV is treat women like shit to get over. Yeah. In a way.
That's very accurate.
All right, treat women like shit to make yourself look cool, and women are only cool if they have nice big tits and they're friendly.
They're like sexualized.
Right. If they're not nice and cool, then they're bitches. That's just kind of the way things were at that point. So anyway, Triple H looks at her in disgust, is like, what are you doing here? Fuck off. Then he turns around and gets her luggage and just plops it in her arms. Like, see you later. Get out of here. And she has a meltdown, freaking out. I was only trying to help. And man, I'm feeling sorry for Stephanie. Maybe it's 20 years of hating Triple H after the fact. You're like, he sucks now. And then it's an easy thing to be like, Triple H is an asshole. So yeah, you try to apply it. Yeah, yeah. But I think we're on to something, though. Like, at this time, it doesn't make sense for him to be shitty to Stephanie like this. What has she done wrong to him at this point? Nothing. She hasn't done anything wrong. Nothing wrong at all. They're just trying to set up something. And we'll get to that in time. But now, we're on to the main event. And it is the No Way Out number one contenders match. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle.
These guys again.
These guys are the best.
Yep. I love these two.
They're going to do it again. This is a quick match. It's a 10-minute match, which is standard for a Raw, usually. But man, they put on a show. So let's get right into it with the match highlights. The match is going to kick off with some hot brawling, chopping back and forth. Austin's going to hit Angle with a nice power slam. It looked like it was going to be a Luthes press, but then it turned right into a power slam. And Austin goes for a cover, gets a two count. Austin goes for an early stunner after that. Angle counters with an ankle lock. I feel like they always do that spot where Austin goes for the stunner, Angle goes for the ankle lock right within the first, like, minute. That gets countered, and Austin turns that into a roll-up, a nice roll-up, too. Like, I was impressed by it. Then out of that roll-up, Austin hits the Luthes press, hits the punches, hits the elbow drop. He gets a two count there. Angle comes back with a suplex on Austin. He gets a two count. And then he starts to pound away between whipping Austin from post to post, back and forth, corner to corner. The crowd is into this match big time. And they get their chance going. They got the You suck. What? You suck. What? So we're getting these dueling chants going on here. Austin whips Angle into a corner, but then Angle comes back with a mean clothesline, gets a two count on Austin. Austin comes back with a freaking brutal spine buster that also sends Austin down to the mat himself. So as Austin hits the spine buster, it sends him all the way back down to the mat. They showed replays of it. It was great. The impact was intense. And he even led JR to say, "Oh, that's Austin hitting a spine to the pine." I guess referring to underneath the mat of the ring, you got the wood there. So,
yeah, that's what the actual ring is.
It's wood. Right, right. It's wood with just a little piece of shit mat. You know, it's mostly wood there. In the WWF, I think the WCW rings had more cushion than
really
WWF. Yep. Yeah, from what I've heard, the WWF rings were the shittiest to work in because there was more wood and also the ropes are just ropes. Whereas in WCW, they were cables, which are easier to bounce off of. So that was one of the big differences there. And they only started to make changes to the ring in WWF when Vince McMahon started to wrestle more. So that would have been probably in 99 that they actually did change the comfort of the ring. Because Vince would be in there. Alright, so anyway, we continue on. We're going to get... We got those chants going on. You get that spine buster. Angle counters with the superplex, or suplex rather, onto Austin. Then he continues on with the series of German suplexes. Austin fights out of it and sets Angle up on the top turnbuckle. And he begins to chop away on Angle's chest. Austin begins to get crazy with the chops. And the crowd, man, this crowd is good. And they're getting into it even more. They start off with the woos because he's just doing the basic chops. Woo! 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 But then Austin starts to go, woo! Chop, 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 chop. Then the crowd goes from there and goes, wah, 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 wah. So, awesome crowd going from the woos to the whats. It's like the woo's like, all right, this is regular chops. But then Austin goes nuts and's like, what the fuck's going on? What chops? And man, they got intense. Austin sets up for a superplex. Austin then, as he's going for that superplex, he just takes Angle's face and pulls it to him and bites. Bites Angle's face. And that's not
a normal... That's a George the Animal Steel move.
Yeah, right. And that's not a normal thing for Austin to do. So, you know, it's a telltale sign that Austin is making a last-minute adjustment there. And he's talking to Angle because he has to change something with this spot. So Austin then adjusts, and they both come down with a superplex. And Austin gets a two count. But from what I noticed is that Austin's knee brace got loose as he was going up to go for that superplex. And it was getting caught on the second rope. So I think he went for that bite spot to talk to Angle and say, oh, my shit's caught here. I'm just going to go from the second rope with my foot on the top rope, and that he's going to need some additional help from Angle to get the spot done. So from there, Angle, you can see it very clearly if you're watching and you notice that they had that adjustment that Angle basically just does a flip on his own. Angle rolls out of the ring and heads up to the ramp. Austin goes after him and tosses Angle back into the ring. Angle immediately rolls out of the other side of the ring, so he's just running away from Austin as much as he can. Austin drops Angle headfirst into the steel steps when he gets a hold of him. They get back into the ring. Angle charges at Austin. He's trying to get aggressive. He goes after Austin, dives into the corner. Austin moves just in time, so Angle then nails the corner post with his shoulder. He falls out of the ring. And Lola does bring up a good point at this juncture and says, hey, is Austin ever going to get disqualified for nailing Angle with the steel steps over and over again? And well, JR,
it's a weird time in WWF, though, because they're never really disqualifying people for anything. It's like...
No, it's true.
User discretion.
Oh, exactly. But it's funny he brings it up, though. And then JR immediately is like, no, no, no. He's like shitting on it right away. Don't even say that. Don't even say that. We don't do that anymore. And I believe JR is saying that because of that very reason. They don't do it anymore, so stop raising attention to it. You know, what he should have done is been like, oh, this is, you know, this is for the big deal. This is for a title shot. Referee Earl Hebner is just letting these guys battle it out. Something to that effect. So from there, anyway, Austin stomps a mud hole on Angle once he gets him back in the corner. Earl's trying to break it up. Austin is getting a little pissed off. He shoves Earl. And then while Earl is shoved and pushed over, Angle takes that opportunity to low blow Austin. And Angle, man, he's sick of this shit. He's going to go get a steel chair. And that's going to bring us to the finish of this match. And, man, the finish of this match is fucking damn good. So let's get right into it. Angle tosses the chair into the ring that he's just gotten. But Earl Hebner, who is now outside of the ring, which doesn't make any sense. Why are you outside of the ring, Earl? Stay in the ring. Stay in the ring.
Do your fucking job.
Yes, just stay in there and count him out if he's outside of the ring. You don't need to go save the day and tell him not to get a chair.
Even this, all right, so back to the match I covered on SmackDown when fucking Jericho, or was it, no, the Raw you cover where Jericho gets the fucking ring bell.
Yeah.
And he's the legal man and he's like running around. And yeah. Like, Earl Hebner is just standing there in the middle of the ring, like not paying attention to what the fuck Jericho's trying to do. Like not watching him try and get the fucking ring bell.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's why I shit on him all the time. It's because it's always these situations. I guess it's the booking of his matches that they just do this with him, but it looks bad for him. In a kayfabe sense, I guess most people probably don't give a fuck because they're just like, oh, it's wrestling, whatever. But man, he's always put in these situations where he's not noticing shit, not fucking doing the right thing. So anyway, there it is. The chair is now in there, and Angle and Earl get back in the ring at this point. Austin now has possession of the chair. Kurt is going to grab Earl Hebner, pull him in front of him. Like, yeah, hit him. Hit Earl. So Angle wants Austin to hit Earl and hit him so that he can get DQ'd and win the match. Get disqualified. So I thought that was a good little spot there. Throw in some drama. Hey, Austin, fucking hit me. I'll win the match. You know, but Austin, he's smart enough to know not to do it. So he says, yeah, you're not going to fucking get me. Kurt Angle's like egging him on too. Come on, hit me. Come on, hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Right here.
In the chin. Do it. Come on. Do it now.
Yeah, do it now. So Austin drops the chair though. He's like, fuck this. I dropped the chair. He starts punching Angle. Boom, 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 boom. Austin goes for a stunner. Angle pushes Austin off, but right into Earl Hebner. Now Earl is down. Damn it. So Angle gets the chair. He goes to town on Stone Cold. Earl obviously doesn't hear anything. He doesn't see anything. He's right there. You get pushed down. You can't hear shit anymore. You can't hear, like, six chair shots.
Yeah, I know. We can hear them through the fucking boom mics outside the ring through our televisions. You can't see them, like, fucking 6 feet from his ear.
Right. But then Earl starts to gradually get up. Angle, I love what Angle does. He just nonchalantly tosses the chair out of the ring. Like, throws it over his head outside of the ring. Lays down like he's the one that's hurt. And then, as Earl's starting to get up, Angle crawls over like he's barely, you know, he's hurt. Austin's down. He's going to go for the cover. Angle goes for the cover. One, two. Austin kicks out. Angle's pissed. He's frustrated because he thought he was going to get away with cheating. He didn't. He goes for another cover. Nothing. He's fucking infuriated now. Now he goes for the ankle lock. The ankle lock's on Austin. Austin makes it to the ropes, and he breaks the hold. Angle doesn't want to quit. Angle then gets Austin, nails him with the Olympic slam, but too close to the ropes. And Angle makes the cover with his back on Austin's chest, so his head is not looking at the ropes. It's looking the opposite direction. He's making the cover. He has the one, two, thinks there's a three. Austin's foot gets on the bottom rope. Angle doesn't realize that Austin's foot was on the rope. Angle gets up. He starts doing his little spin celebrating that he won the match. He gets up on the He goes to the corner, goes on the ropes like Austin does the "oh hell yeah" to the crowd like an asshole, even though he didn't even win the match yet. So fucking so good there. Earl goes over to Angle. Angle's like, "What the fuck do you want? What the fuck do you want?" Earl's like, "You haven't won this match. You haven't won this match." Then Kurt Angle starts pouting. He's stomping his feet. He starts stomping up and down like a little kid. He turns around. Austin has gotten up at this point. And Kurt just turns to him. Austin, kick to the gut. Wham! Stunner. 1, 2, 3. Boom. Austin going to No Way Out to face Chris Jericho. Undisputed champion. Undisputed championship match, rather, at No Way Out. I thought this was a hell of a match. Short 10-minute match, but a lot of fun stuff going on.
This was the best match.
Best match of the week, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Austin Angle, from 2000 up to this point, 2002, can't beat it.
Nope.
I mean, I guess we could even go back to 99. There was some stuff in 99. Austin Angle, just nothing better during this time period. Obviously, he has those memorable matches with The Rock and whatnot, but the Angle matches were always top quality. Almost every single time. Great match. So, in the post-match segment, we get Austin cracking up a beer, of course. But then Jericho, the champion, he runs down. He runs down to attack Austin. And, man, Austin's ready for him right away. Jericho slides in the ring. Austin's right there. Boom, stunner. Just continues on with his celebration as the show comes to a close. JR is all excited. The Texas Rattlesnake is back in the title hunt. So I thought it was a nice touch for Jericho to run in there and take a stunner, because it just continues to show us that, you know, Jericho is this weak champion that probably has no shot against Austin.
A weasel.
Right. A weaselish champ. And he has no shot.
Throwback heelish, though. But they kind of went overboard. They really beat, like, the... This guy's not worthy to be champion.
They do.
They really kind of drilled that in.
Right. It's almost like that's what Vince McMahon really thought. Like, he's not worthy to be champion, but we're going to use him to make another champion. That kind of thing. So, they do that. Jericho goes in there. They try to make it look like he has no shot, which is good. Good storytelling to make us think, oh, Stone Cold's obviously going to kick his ass. And then we're going to get Triple H versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania, which makes sense, you know? Two-man power trip. You know, they have a history. They've had a long feud. Triple H tried end his career with getting him hit with a car. And then they had the three stages of hell, and then they were a team together.
Yeah, two-man power trip. Reluctantly.
And, you know, then Triple H got injured, and now they're back. Now there should be some tension between them. Think that'd be the story to tell. If I was Austin, I think Austin would be thinking that too. Doesn't that make most sense? But, you know, we'll see otherwise. But it does look like they're setting it up for be, you know, obvious. Like, at No Way Out, Austin's beating Jericho. I don't want to give too much away. Even though I probably already did. So I won't say much more about that. So anyway, that wraps things up, JV. You enjoyed that match?
Yeah, I did. It was good shit. It's always fun to see those two.
Yeah, it was a good Raw, too. And it's a nice build right after Royal Rumble. You know, we got some new things going on. You got the NWO likely coming in. Vince McMahon, Ric Flair still going at it. And we got a lot of shit going on with the top guys. You had this title hunt going on throughout these episodes. And now Stone Cold on top as being the man to go up against Chris Jericho. As we continue on here. So, what we have upcoming on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast over the next couple of weeks. Next week will be episode 113. And we'll cover SmackDown from January 31st, 2002. Along with Raw from February 4th. And SmackDown from February 7th of 2002. And then the following week on episode 114, we'll do the go-home shows from Raw of February 11th. SmackDown on February 14th. And then we'll get to No Way Out. And cover that championship match, Chris Jericho versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. So that's what we have coming up in the next 2 weeks of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. We're going to take a quick little break here and then wrap things up on the Bottom Line Wrap-Up. So take a listen to Alex Dorio and Travis White as they plug their show, Talking Taker. We'll be right back.
Dead Man Walking.
Hey, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. This is Alex Dorio.
And this is Travis White.
And we are the co-hosts of the Talking Taker podcast. You have heard us advertised by Mike and JV on the show every single week. And now that we have come to the end of our encyclopedic exploration, digging up the dead man after 187 episodes, 3.5 years, we just want to send a big, big thank you to Mike and JV and to all of you guys for listening and supporting the show after all this time.
Yeah, we thank you guys so much. Thanks for the support from your, Mike and JV and all of their fans. And as always, take her easy.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line Wrap-Up. We're going to start, as always, with the house show rundown. And we only got two shows for you. It's January 26th and January 27th of 2002. We've got one show in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the 26th. And on the 27th, we have Hershey, Pennsylvania. And in both shows, we get Stone Cold Steve Austin pinning Booker T with the Stone Cold Stunner. And one notable thing, just a little side note here, on the Pittsburgh show on the 26th, that was the main event. And the mid-card show, like halfway point match on that show, was Jericho against Triple H. And then the very next day, they flipped it. Stone Cold and Booker T went at the halfway point of the show. And then Chris Jericho and Triple H closed out the show in Hershey. So I like to bring that up because I always say, you know, Stone Cold's getting a little break to get out early and go off and do his thing. But now Triple H is back. He's getting that treatment too. Oh, Triple H, yeah, you can go in the middle of the card so you can have some time off after. Triple H is right at that Stone Cold level at this point. And here we are in 2002. This is when Stone Cold's not happy. These are probably some of the things that are not making him happy. That, oh, I am not that special anymore, apparently. It's Triple H is
crazy.
And
the stars,
yeah, it's all coming together. Yeah.
Backstage, at least, the front offices.
And from what I understand, from what I've read and what I've heard, that they never really had a good relationship, Triple H, Stone Cold. So, whatever. So that's the house show rundown. And from there, let's go to our podcast plugs and talk about what's going on our friends of the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast on Talking Taker. Always check out Talking Taker. I mean, there's a whole catalog of things to check out, spanning from Survivor Series 1990 all the way to the end of The Undertaker's career just this past year. And also with their latest episode, episode 188, Raising Kane, where they do a nice little recap of the career of Kane as he was just inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So check out Alex Dorio and Travis White on Talking Taker and follow them on Twitter at Talking Taker. Also check out Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. And this week on the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, they are covering NWA World Championship Wrestling, December 23rd, 1989. Man, I can't believe they're already heading into 1990 when things start to get real shitty in NWA World Championship Wrestling. So check out Booking the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast with Mike Mills, Doc Turner, and Hardbody Hopper. Also check out Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. You follow them at OVP Podcast on Twitter. This week is episode 222. And on their opening segment, they ask you to change your mind. And they ask fans for questions in regards to changing their mind on the topic. So this week is fan sent in a question. Change my mind. Diesel has no rewatchable matches.
Wow. That's a hell of a statement.
I can already think of one off the top of my head. Bret Hart versus Diesel, Royal Rumble 96. It's a damn good match. So, yeah, Diesel had some good matches. So, take a listen to what they have to say. Also, on their second segment, the Royal Flush of the Worst World Title Changes. It's week one. So, two names, two matches were drawn out for them to rank as the two worst title changes in history. And the first one is Hulk Hogan over Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9. Ugh, you remember that one? He just comes out right at the end and fucking wins the title.
Yep, after Yokozuna beats Bret Hart.
Yep.
I remember even as a kid watching that, like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, what the fuck, Hulk Hogan? Get out of here.
The fuck? Go away.
And then the other one, which is memorable, you know, got put in there as one of the worst title changes, probably because of the circumstances, was the Montreal Screwjob HBK over Bret Hart Survivor Series. Right, who else is going to win the title, though? You got to get it off Bret.
Yeah, they didn't really have anyone else.
All right, there's no other option. You're not going to give it to fucking... Who the hell would you give it to? Can't even think of one person you can give it to instead of Shawn Michaels at that point. So, they do that debate there. And then also in their last segment, it's a review of Memphis Wrestling from June 19th, 1979. That may seem kind of random, but it is the Tupelo concession stand brawl with Jerry Lawler, Honky Tonk Man, who was known as just Wayne Ferris at the time. And it was a tag team. It was it was a tag team match. Jerry Lawler's tag team against Honky Tonk Man's tag team. And that was a fun match. So go check that out on our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. Also, check out Free Your Geek with our friend Jay Free. His latest episode is episode 199 and episode 100, both related to the Disney Plus series, The Falcon. I always fuck it up, JV. The Falcon and the what?
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. I don't like saying Winter Soldier because I always say shoulder. So anyway, there it is. It's Free Your Geek. It's all pop culture. It's all good shit over there. So check them out. Stay free at Free Your Geek. And also check out JV and I on the Extreme ECW Livecast, which is a part of the Booking the Territories Patreon $5 tier. So patreon.com/Booking the Territory, $5 tier. Try it out for a month. JV and I have over 40 episodes available covering ECW, early ECW, week by week, starting with April of 1993, all the way up to this point in December into January of 1995. So check us out over there. It's the Extreme ECW Livecast, and we are also on Twitter at ExtremeCast. Thanks, guys, for listening. As always, like I said, we'll be back next week with episode 113 as we continue on building up to No Way Out. JV, any final words before we get out of here? All right, thanks, guys, for listening. And as I said last week, and I didn't forget, this is episode 112, so I'm going to hit you guys up. What's up, nice. 112? And this is a single that was released in September 2001. I tried to get the single related closest to the time period that we're at in January 2001. So the latest hit from 112 in January of 2002 was Dance With Me, which is probably one of my favorite ones.
I remember
ones.
Listening to this in like your Honda or something.
Yeah, my Honda Accord.
Yeah.
1989 Honda Accord with frog lights.
Yep.
All right, so it's 112, Dance With Me. I see you looking at me, and I can tell by the feel that you're feeling me, and I wanted to get you back to the spot. All right, so anyway, hope you guys come back to the spot next week for episode 113. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this is over with, so get the hell out of here. That you're feeling me, and I really want you to get close to me. So would you dance for me, dance for me? Now drop tops in the parking lot, and I'm gonna take you back to my spot. But we still got a little more time to run. So would you dance for me, dance for me?
Dance with me. I said, looking at me, I can tell by your eyes that you're feeling me.